Hey y'all, it's Stephanie from Root to Seed. I hope you all had a great holiday weekend and that you found some time to honor our veterans and that you are able to stay cool this weekend. Personally, I found it far too chilly that weekend, but I'm glad it's warming up. Of course, not to this point. It's a little bit too hot for me, but it's okay. Today we're going to discuss composting. Specifically composting with worms. But first, let me share some news. Let's see. The seedling sale lasted about 3 weeks and has now ended, and it was nice to see the plants find good homes. I think that is about all the news for this week, actually. Everything's planted, and I guess we're moving on into the harvest season. Looks like strawberries will be first, so I'll keep you posted on how that goes. So let's get right to it. A worm composting bin, known as vermicomposter, can be fairly inexpensive and easy to maintain. There are many high-priced, aesthetically pleasing versions you can find in most garden catalogs. However, you can easily make one of your own for little to no money. There are several ways to vermicompost. Today, we'll discuss how to build one kind of worm composting bin designed to be used inside, and you'll want to put your bin in an indoor space as you don't want the worms to freeze in the winter or get too warm in the summer. In addition, you may want to put the bin in the basement or another out-of-the-way space since you'll be producing compost and worm tea in the composter. Having said that, it does not smell. I have one of my own. It is in my basement laundry room, and if people didn't know it was there, they wouldn't know it was there because it has no smell. So what will you need? First, you'll want to buy, borrow, or repurpose the following items that will help you in starting your worm composting. You'll need two plastic bins. One must be taller and rest inside the other, shorter bin. The shorter, bottom bin does not need a top. A bin made of rubber or plastic, and that's about 15 inches deep, 25 inches wide, and 5 inches high works great. That's about a medium-sized bin. The extra length allows you to scoop out the extra liquid or worm tea for use elsewhere, usually in the garden, for your house plants, shrubs, pretty much anything you want to have healthy growth. The top tub should have a top to keep the worms from finding their way outside the box. It also needs to be somewhat flexible so you can drill holes into it. An 18-gallon tub that's roughly 15 inches deep, 20 inches wide, and 15 inches tall works perfectly well. You'll also need a drill with a 1-inch diameter and 1/8-inch diameter drill bit is needed to drill the holes. Holes near the top of the tub allow air in for the worms to breathe, and holes near the bottom of the tub are to allow excess liquid to drain out of the box so the worms won't drown. You can manage the liquid manually, but it's hard to get it just right, so holes make the bin easier to maintain. Both sets of holes are covered with fine vinyl screen so the worms won't escape. We actually use garden fabric secured with duct tape. It works well, and many people have some on hand. So why use screening? Well, if you don't cover the holes, the worms may escape. You'll also need some shredded paper. You'll need enough to fill your bin 3 inches deep and extra to add each time you feed the worms once a week. Almost any kind of paper works, but avoid heavy, shiny paper and colored paper. You can also add most any brown material. We use a mixture of paper, dried leaves, mulched hay, pretty much whatever we have on hand. And I found my worms particularly like corrugated cardboard, chopped up into very small bits and mixed into the mixture that we put in for them. You'll need a little bit of compost or soil. About a pound will be enough. Just make sure that it doesn't have any harmful chemicals in it. And if all goes well, the worms will be producing their own compost very soon. You'll need a little bit of water. Some water is needed to moisten the paper and the soil to create a comfortable medium for the worms to thrive. Soak the paper and then drain it before using it. You want the paper to be damp, but not to expel any water when you squeeze it. Then you'll need your worms. A pound of red wriggler are recommended because they consume waste quickly. But earthworms would also work. Red wrigglers are available online from your U.S. Department of Agriculture. extension office or from another worm bin owner. Soon you'll have your own supply of worms as worm bins produce more worms as well as great compost. You'll also need a trowel, a small shovel, or an old cooking spoon that you don't use anymore, and you're going to use this to move the compost as needed in the bin. Anytime you feed the bin, you'll need to make a space for it and cover it up. And then you'll need a food scraps container to keep in your kitchen. Use the small container with a tightly fitted top to collect vegetable and fruit scraps. And why are you not just putting the food straight into the bin? Worms do best when they're left alone, so it's best to feed them only once per week. Use the food scraps container to collect scraps for the week, and then feed the worms weekly. Okay, now that you have all your materials, now you can build the bin. Here are the steps. Drill a 1-inch hole about 2 inches from the top of the taller bin on one side. Drill another hole on the opposite side. Drill 4 1/8-inch holes near the bottom, near the corners of the bin. Cover each of the holes with screening and glue or garden fabric and tape in place. If you're using glue, be sure it's completely dry before continuing. Assuming that your glue is dry or you're just using tape, place the tall bin inside the short bin. Do not drill any holes in the short bin. I'll return after this short break. All right, so you've built your bin, and now we will prepare the paper, soil, water, and we'll add the worms. You'll want to combine shredded paper and other materials, soil, and just enough water to dampen everything. Put the mixture into the tall bin and fill the bin about 3 inches deep. Add your worms to the mixture and let them get used to it for a day before feeding them. Make sure the mixture is very moist, but not forming puddles of water. What I like to do when adding the worms is I like to put the worms in about a cup of compost, so they're kind of in that soil mix, and then I take the whole combination of soil and worms and I just put them in a small pile on top of the paper mixture that you've made in the bin, and then they disperse themselves and they figure out where they're comfortable in there. You don't need to actually put the worms into the paper and then start mixing them around in it. They won't appreciate that. So just putting them in a neat pile on top is perfectly fine. Okay, so now that the worms are all comfy cozy in their bin, you can begin feeding them. So you'll collect food scraps, such as vegetables and fruit scraps, bread, tea bags, and coffee grounds in your food scrap container as you prepare and clean up after meals. Do not include any animal byproducts, fat, bones, dairy, meat, or any kind of waste. Also, it may take the worms longer to process woody or dry items like stems or the outer layer of onions. Worms will eat paper as long as it's thin or cut into small pieces, but they will not eat plastic or fabric tea bags, coffee filters, or the labels placed on produce by grocery stores. Their care once a week is as follows. Take the scraps to the worm bin, gently create a hole to put the scraps into, throw in a small handful of shredded paper, add all the food scraps on top of the paper, cover all of the food scraps with dirt and moist paper. Exposed food attracts fruit flies, but covered food scraps don't. Add soil and moist paper to the bin until the worms have made enough compost to use to cover the food scraps. Notice what the worms are eating and what they're not. Remove any scraps that your worms have not eaten for a while, as they may not like that type of food. For example, some worms won't tackle a whole potato or a citrus rind, but may eat them if they're cut up into small bits. Put the lid back on the worm bin and wash out the food scraps container for the coming week. And then once every few months, you'll want to scoop the liquid out of the lower container and use it as fertilizer outside in your soil, near plants, or use it to water down for your indoor plants. When the worm bin is full, so when the compost reaches the bottom of the top holes you drilled, do the following. Feed the worms on one side of the bin for a couple of weeks in order to draw the worms to that side. Once all the worms are on one side, harvest the compost on the other side and use it in pots, your garden, sprinkle it across your yard. You can make more tea out of it. You can also scoop compost and worms into a newspaper and sort them out, but this is a bit messier and believe me, it's tedious. I tried to do this once and it took hours. Be sure to harvest compost at the end of the week before you feed the worms again. If there are too many worms in the worm bin, share extras with friends and family, release them into your yard, or start another bin. That's about it. Worms are pretty easy. I hope you found this episode helpful. Composting with worms is super easy and fun to do with kids. I've posted this on the blog as well if you prefer some visuals. I'll also be posting a how-to video for making worm compost tea, so be looking out for a new YouTube video. For episode 20, I'd like to be answering listener questions. So please submit your questions using social media or email. And if you're liking the podcast, do leave a review and subscribe on your favorite platform. Until next time, be kind to the planet, be kind to each other, and join our community.